Blog Talk Radio.
Domino effect, that this meant this to
go to this, to go to this, to go to this. And I definitely don't want to go backwards. So I had to look at myself as well. I already knew the problem with the abuser. I already knew the characteristic of the abuser. So there was no need for me to try to figure out what his problem was because I already knew. So I needed to look in the mirror and ask myself, what happened with me that I allowed myself to be in this situation? And the place that I went to find the answers was through someone in the medical field. I went to a psychologist, and I was doing holistic therapy for like 4 weeks. But then I decided to call, and that became kind of expensive. So then I decided to call the 800 number hotline for abused women. Now, mind you, I sat at the computer, and I researched, and I looked at that number, and I researched again, and I kept telling myself, this is not where I belong. This didn't happen to me. I don't need to talk to these people. But I knew, even though people around me were telling me that I was a superwoman, that I had a big S on my chest, and that, wow, the way I handled the situation was totally different from anyone else that they've known. You know, so they were patting me on my back, telling me, you got yourself out of that. You didn't last long in it. You were great. Even the pastor told me, the pastor that initiated the service for my wedding, told me after the fact that to run as fast as I could because he had seen these things happen before and the person would end up dead. So he told me to just get myself out of this, which I didn't want to believe that because, as I said, it was only verbal abuse and partially mental. So I needed to really get someone in a professional field to talk to me and guide me through the process of how I got there. So I started going to therapy at this shelter for battered women. And she didn't try the holistic approach at first. We talked about different types of abusers. And then toward the end, it lasted for over a year. And toward the end, we began to dive into my background, you know, and my relationship with my family, my relationship with my parents, my relationship with my father. Because all of this has to be looked at in order for you to understand how you allowed yourself to be in this abusive situation. So I knew some of the answers. I knew that my father was not abusive to me in a verbal, physical, or mental way, but he was not there in the manner in which I needed him to be. He was only there in a part-time way. And the way in which he dealt with his being there, it was loving, it was caring, but there were other things that kept him from being there totally in my life. And I learned to accept a man coming in and out of my life. Early on, I learned to accept that that's what love is all about, that man loves you, even though he's not there, because he's over here with someone else, and he's not there. So he may have said different things to my mom to allow this type of relationship to happen between my mom and myself and my sister, because he had another family. He was married. So therefore, he had to have set up some type of, I would say, manipulation, conversation with my mom. They had to have some type of understanding to allow this to continue once my sister and I were born, and to allow this for many, many years into our life for him to be there part-time. So that was the beginning of my understanding of a relationship with a male, to accept them part-time. Now, mind you, like I said, my father was never verbal or mental abusive to me or physical in any way. He was always kind, always spoke kindly. But when you look at the overall picture, there had to be some manipulation going on. I was taught by him and my mom what to say and how to say, especially in the public, because he was a public figure. So I was taught early on how to address him in public, how not to call him father in public, how to say certain things to him in public to where it did not interfere with his public figure. So there was a lot of what some people will call a mental abuse in a sense, because we all know that fathers are not supposed to be that way. Parents are supposed to be 100% with their children. They're supposed to allow their relationship to grow in a healthy way, not in a lie, not in a cover-up or anything like that, and not in a part-time situation. So as I got older, it began to affect me. It began to affect the choices that I made in men. It began to affect the choices that I made in relationships. And I allowed myself to have a part-time person in my life, meaning that there were those that were there and they wanted to be full-time, but could I handle them full-time? And there were those that didn't want to be full-time, and I allowed them not to be. So when I got to a certain age in my life, I decided that this was not to be anymore, and I decided that I would become serious in my relationship with God, and that I would become celibate, and I would just, you know, let God control this part of my life pertaining to a man. However, that did not go too well when I met the person that I said abused me. Even though I remained celibate until we were married, there still was things that were not right. He was still part-time for various reasons. He was part-time in my life, meaning he was in and out of my life. And when I count the times that he was there, most of the time it was great. Some of the times, a small percent of the time, it became difficult. There was verbal abuse, but there was more mental abuse, meaning that this person had issues, but some kind of way they manipulated the situation to make me believe that I was the issue. So I have to ask myself, what attracted me to this part-time person? What attracted me to this type of mental and verbal abuse? How could I think of myself as a strong black woman that I was taught to be, no doubt? And how could I look at the parents that I have come from, even though they made mistakes, they were still strong people? My mom was a very strong, intelligent woman, and my dad was a very strong, intelligent man. And they taught me great morals and values, even though, like I said, from where I come from was not right, but they taught me that that is wrong. They taught me that was wrong. So they taught me how to read the scriptures, understand what is right and what is wrong according to God's will, and they wanted that for me. They didn't want me to make the same mistakes that they made. So I was taught that I was a great person. I was taught that I was a kind person. But when it came to love, what they did not understand, you can't really teach that if you've already shown to your children that this is where you come from. Even though they were trying to teach me the right way to go, it had already been broken because I could not have my father in the manner in which I needed him. Even though he told me I was great, I needed him to show me what love was all about. I saw my parents, the way they looked at each other. I understood that that's what love was, but as I said, if he was married and he was still looking at my mom in this way, that's where the confusion comes in at. So that carried over with me. Some kind of way it got into the characteristics of who I was and how I allowed myself to not totally be loved by this person that abused me mentally. And when I say that, meaning when you look at the definition of love, as I said at my wedding, love is patient. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love's not jealous. Love's not blind. There's a lot of different definitions of love in the Bible. And when the pastor stood at our wedding and preached, he said, when God took Eve from Adam, he used the side and took Adam's rib. So that meant that that woman is always supposed to walk side by side, not behind you, not in front of you, but beside you And he said, you're never to use your foot nor your hand on this woman because she came from you. You are to protect her. The ribs are protected. You know, they're protected. And that is where God took the woman from. So the man is not to have her underneath his feet or any other way in his body, but beside her to protect her. And, of course, the person that I was marrying, he thought that that was something that I had told the pastor to say. He thought that someone in my family had spoken with the pastor and said, hey, he has a history of abusing women and you need to speak on that, which my family knew nothing about talking to this pastor. My family didn't even know the pastor. But that was the Holy Spirit explaining to that pastor. And he said he says this at all ceremonies that he performs. So he was only doing what he normally is led by the Spirit to do. So as I began to get into therapy and try to understand who I was and why I was, it made a lot of sense. And I understood that I needed to get over my past with my father. I cannot change that. It does not make me less of a human being. It does not make me less of a woman. That I needed to understand that I am loved. I'm loved first and foremost by the Almighty God because I am his child. And I am loved secondly by myself. And that's all you need. You need to understand that you're loved by God. And then you need to look in the mirror and love yourself. Because when you understand the love of God, when you sit there and you know that God's arms is around you, loving you and caring for you, and you are his child, and he will give you everything that you need, you will understand that by no shape or form does it ever say in the Bible concerning marriage that a woman should be abused in any form or fashion by her husband. He should love her the way Christ loved the church. Okay? That's the way it should be. And then once you understand that, then you will begin to understand who you are. And you will begin to understand that God made you into this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful woman. And you are to be loved at all times. You are to be respected at all times. Never in any way, shape, or form should you accept anything less. And if we have problems with ourselves and our insecurities, then we need to speak to someone. We need to get into therapy so that we can overcome these insecurities because they're no joke. They can lead you into a path of destruction for yourself. So we have to take ownership in our characteristics and how we allow ourselves to become victims. Now, I think I spoke enough about what I feel about it and my truth about it, and I'm going to go to the phone. So if you have any comments or any questions, please call me at 347-237-5247. That's 347-237-5247. Now, we have a couple callers here. I'm going to try to get to them. Okay, the first one I see is 213-222. Caller, may I help you? Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, Terry. I'm a little choked up because you hit a lot of things on the head. I called the number that you gave the listeners last week, and which led me to another number, which I'm going to reach out to tomorrow because I found myself in a just kind of like up against a brick wall. I was, as you said, I have been, like, no, I was telling myself I have an S on my chest because a couple of people, including yourself, had said, listening to your broadcast, you need to get help. I'm like, no, I don't. Nobody hit me. But look, I'm fine. No, forget that. But then I found how exactly what everyone was saying, no matter what I did, my thoughts go back. One of my friends said, but you're thinking you're going to think about it. I'm like, no, I don't. It's not going to stop anything I'm doing. I got this, but I didn't. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't function. my daily act. I found myself just walking in a circle at a point. I'm like, oh my God, what is happening? So I did call the number, and then I reached out to another number that they led me to. But what you just said really drove it home to look at how did I allow this to happen, because it's true. How did I let myself get to this place? It's not, 'cause I knew the person's issues. I knew it's not that person. How did I allow it? So I'm confirming what you said. And so for me, I was adopted, and I was always never told. I didn't find out till I was 8 years old at a doctor's office abruptly. To find out your mother's not your mother kind of rocked my world, to say the least.
I can imagine.
And then being very smart, I had to think back every time, even when I was enrolled in school. Oh, and my mother was a teacher there. This is your daughter. Nobody knew about me. And she always had this phony laugh. And I felt uncomfortable. And then when people say, oh, just to be polite, she looks just like you. Look nothing like her. And I was mistreated badly as a child. And always I remember looking in the mirror and wondering who I was. But I was always, I had a different name for a long time. And then I remember when the adoption became final. And I always never had an identity. And I never knew who my mother or father was. And it was all a lie, all my life.
So that's a disconnect, really a big disconnect.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Huge.
That's what shapes your character.
So right now,
love
I'm
and how you receive I'm, love, or your
I'm
understanding
reeling.
Of what love is.
Oh, I'm really reeling right now, because that really is everything. Is I feel like I'm in a tornado right now. I'm in a funnel cloud right now. It's all coming together. Right now, what you just said, it's answered a lot.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot, but you have to hold on to what the truth is and what your truth is, and as you ride in that truth, just know that, as I said last week, it's going to be painful. But when you grow through it, because God would not bring you to it if he was not going to bring you through it. And when you get through it and you land, you're gonna feel so much better, because he's gonna be holding you. He's gonna be holding you. You're not gonna crash. Because
I couldn't find that answer.
Got,
I couldn't find that answer.
Yeah,
I could not find that answer.
Yeah, he's got.
Can
you.
I try? And today was so hard because my abuser actually contacted me and made a generous gesture. There's put money in my account, and I'm like, wow, and I almost broke.
Well, you have to understand, they'll use all kinds of things
to
abuse you. But can you hold on 1 second, caller? I got someone else on the line. I'm gonna bring
you
real quick.
Yeah.
We got like 6 minutes.
Yes.
Hold on 1 second.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Caller 631, you're on the air. May I help you?
Hi, thank you so much. The time got past me, so I happened to look at the clock and saw that I was late, but I just wanted to call in support of the show. I really haven't been following along so far, so if you could continue and maybe I can jump in later in the, before you go off the air.
Okay, thank you, caller.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give a shout-out also to, I think, my cousin Sharonda. You're back listening. I appreciate it. She's been an avid supporter of me for many, many, many months, probably over a year, and I see she's listening right now. Thank you, Sharonda, and a blessed shout-out to you. Now I'm going to go back to the caller at 213. Now, caller, you have to understand that, okay, you have to tell yourself at that moment when you got the call from your abuser, go into your characteristics. Which character, what led you to maybe say yes? What did you feel that the yes was going to get you? Work through that yes and understand that that's just a moment. And you have to look at, okay, if I do this, where am I going to be tomorrow? Where am I going to be next week? Where am I going to be next year? You take it one day at a time at that moment, but you also have to look at that moment and see where it's going to get you. Is that moment taking that money, is it going to get you to where you want to be?
So it was extremely frightening to me myself. I had to ask myself, "What are you doing?" And it was not. I had no choice. He just did it, and called me to let me know.
Well, you have a choice. You don't have to. That money can sit there. It does not have to be.
It was the gesture itself, right? I didn't. It's just there. But
you have to understand that. Right, and that's why I said we have to look at ourselves, because we can't see what I hear, but, you know, I'm not the professional here. We cannot make excuses for how they victimize us, okay? We are going to be the victims regardless, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot change that title, but you can remove yourself from that abuser. Okay?
It's not too late. It, everything, every red flag and everything went off and went totally against how far I've come.
Gotcha.
Don't get me wrong. And immediately, once I softened my heart, immediately I hardened back up and I had to ask myself, what are you doing? No.
Well, yeah, you do.
No.
And that's why when I called the 800 number and I started getting therapy, that therapist, as I went once a week, she was there for me when the abuser continued to reach out to me and continued the pattern and the manipulation, because it comes looking like a rose, but it's really a thorn. So she was there to point these different things out to me, because, yeah, it seems like, wow, this person is you, and I'm telling her, you really don't know this person. And I'm questioning myself, like, I need a new therapist because she don't really know this person. How could she tell me anything? And she had me reading this book and all this stuff. I'm like, this is so not right. So
right.
It was a challenge. It was a challenge, and it did not correct itself overnight. It took me working through it. It took me looking in the mirror at myself, learning how to love myself. Because when you understand the love that God has for you and you let that manifest inside of you, and then you're able to look at yourself and know that you are his child, there ain't nothing nobody can tell you. And then his spirit lives in you, and you will hear his spirit. And when you hear his spirit, there is no order of confusion. There is no order of confusion with God, none whatsoever, meaning that your stomach won't turn, you won't have second thoughts, you'll be able to sleep. When you are really hearing the voice of God, there's no confusion. There's none. Because he is not a God of confusion. But I'm sorry, they're counting me down. And you know what? I'm going to have to continue this next week because I only get the 30 minutes. So
You've done so much tonight. Thank you. God bless
you. Well, you're welcome. And I'll be back next week, so we're going to talk more about this. And I thank you so much. And as I say every week,
thank you.
8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I challenge everybody out there to stay true and be blessed, but know your truth. Know your truth. And the way you get to your truth is by the word of God. Read the word of God. Understand what Matthew says about our Father and how he loves his children. And when we know that, we'll totally understand our purpose, and we'll understand everything that is happening in our lives. So thank you, caller. And until next week, stay true.
My pleasure.
Blessed, okay?
Amen.
And I'm signing off right now, and I thank all you callers. You're blessed.